guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
I'm gonna hurt. Do not.
Like, I don't know
if I
need to try to get it to come out here or here.
Jesus. Mary. Joseph and all of his carpenter friends.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, what am I going to say though?
Now y'all made me nervous.
It's going to be a time.
I'm a sensitive boy.
I'm Beth and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
Got the little frilly socks and everything.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And we want to welcome everyone back to the Music List Podcast. My name is Ben. With me are my sisters, Beth and Heather. And we are siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the shtick. That's what we do. And we hope everyone is having an uneventful spring, but we hope you get some rain. Everybody needs rain. And that's the segue to our, we're doing rain songs in honor of spring. That's why we decided to do rain, right? Because it's springtime.
It's raining right now.
Yeah, that's right.
In studio.
April,
in it?
April,
well,
April,
outside the studio.
April showers bring May flowers kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, normally we go through and we ask, you know, what were you looking for? Well, in this case, we're just looking for the best songs that have rain in the title.
Yep.
And so I actually asked for clarification pretty late, actually, in the process.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to include Africa by Toto.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
Which is about rain. It's about blessing the rains down in Africa. But,
I used to think it said, I miss the rains.
I bet everyone does.
But then when we clarified, I could not include it on my list of songs. So I'm glad I clarified because I would have been disqualified if I had put that on my list. If Africa was available, where would you have put it on your list? Or would it have been on
your
list?
We don't know the other picks yet.
On your nine.
Oh.
Would it have made your top nine if
just
if we
a song
had,
about rain?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Some days I really like it, and some days I wish it would die.
I like to sing it, though.
It is fun to sing. I really like the Christmas one, the Straight No Chaser one. That one's fun.
Oh.
Have y'all seen the live version of that choir that does it? That is really cool, where they snap and stomp and to make the lightning and the thunder and stuff. That was really cool. Really cool. So I guess we'll do it.
We're always
really
reaching out.
Well, we always do it. So I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be up front with mine. Like, I don't even know if mine are the best rain songs, but they're the ones I love. Because we just mentioned it with Africa. They're songs I love to sing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, like, I don't know if they're quote unquote the best as far as lyrical content, as far as, but to me, what makes a good song is, does it make you want to participate? Does it make you want to join along?
Oh my goodness.
Does it bubble something inside of you to where you're like, I've got to sing the chorus?
I don't like things to bubble inside me. That's usually a really uncomfortable time.
It's a metaphor.
As Taco Bell gets me bubbling.
It's not, we're not talking
the bubble good.
Yep. Literal bubbles. We're talking metaphorically rise up inside of you. And like, there are some of these, it just,
so what
I can't help but sing.
What I'm hearing you say is that my songs aren't really that good. And so if they don't get chosen.
No, what I'm saying is because I think
I just like singing them.
What I'm doing is I'm redefining what a good song is by defining it as
something I like.
Something that creates a feeling inside of you where you can't help but sing along.
Okay. Got it. We'll redefine it next time. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course we will. Yeah. Absolutely.
And by we, I mean Ben.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So here's the round. Here's how this works. If this is the first time that you've listened to the Music List podcast, we're all going to draft three songs. The draft order for round one is Heather, Ben, Beth. Round two. What's so funny?
I don't even know. I'm sorry.
This is
proceed.
I lost it. This is one of those times when we've been talking about getting video, and this would be one of those times because sometimes you just catch eyes with somebody, you know, just like, you know. So
yeah, you had to be there. And one day we'll have you in studio with us,
and
all people of the world.
Okay,
maybe.
So, the way this works, people, is in round one, Heather will draft first, then me, then Beth. But Beth will draft first in round two, and then in round three, Heather will draft first, Beth will draft last. So that'll give us nine songs. Then we have the 9-to-5 round where we cut four of the songs, which usually there's some debate about which songs we want to make the top five. And then after we have a top five, then we have more spirited discussion over the ranking of said five songs, 1 through 5. And so that'll give us the five best doggone rain songs in the history of the world. I just want everyone at home to know.
No one else has ever ranked them.
Not correctly. No. So this, just so you know, and I want you to know how lucky you are to be listening to our podcast right now. This is the definitive rain song list. Don't go to Ranker or Rolling Stone is a joke
sometimes.
Yeah, but I will use them sometimes in my,
they get way too artsy.
In my facts,
they think way too hard on Rolling Stone, way too hard. You know, it's ridiculous. So anyway, that'll give us, and then we'll provide to you the best rain songs in the history of mankind. And then you can go on and you can tell everyone.
And we know.
I know what the best rain song in the history of the world
because
is.
Because we're the best music podcast in not only Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's like a bunch of surrounding states.
A bunch of states.
Too.
That's right.
In the region of America. So that's why we're the best.
Specifically, like Texas.
Louisiana.
Louisiana, Oklahoma, Missouri, I know we're listed. Yeah. Is Tennessee on the list?
I don't remember.
They border us.
But there were a handful of states and we're better than them.
That's right. That's right. And we're going for a repeat, baby. We're going for a repeat.
Yep.
So that's just to let you know that our rankings are legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Verified.
Because the voters across this part of the country have recognized us as experts in the field.
Mm-hmm. Blue check.
Our own mother in studio right now just went...
Well, after we know how she felt about our male rock
vocals.
Nobody
trolls you harder than your own mom.
Yeah.
So.
We got to get a video.
Phil like Cam.
Phil Cam. Phil Cam. Or we could call it Nanny Cam. Nana Cam. We'll call it Nana. Nana Cam.
Nana Cam.
Nana Cam. Yeah. Because her grandchildren call her Nana. So it's not a nanny cam, it's
nanny.
That's
a good reason to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it?
Why are y'all giving me a hard time today?
I don't know.
It's just one of those days, man.
Jeez. Ski again. Didn't pull out my Cartman. I'm giving him. Okay, Heather, I guess you can go ahead and draft.
Thanks.
Let's get started.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to say I knew what this pick was.
Go ahead and start, but let me. I'm going to let you finish.
I knew what this pick was when I found out she drafted first.
How do you know what it is? I hadn't
said it. Pick it, and everyone will know why I knew.
Well, you're going to say you knew, even if you didn't know.
I'll see if it makes sense. I'll see.
Whatever. My number one pick is November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Use Your Illusion. One.
I was like, is that a penny whistle?
When I look into your eyes, I can see a love restrained.
You got an orchestra. You got a choir.
Darling, when I hold you, don't you know?
This hit number three on the Hot 100, the longest song to enter the top 10 at the time of its release at 8 minutes and 57 seconds. What were you going to say? Did you have something you wanted to add before I started?
No, I knew I knew that this was going to be your top pick.
Because?
Because I know how you feel about Guns N' Roses. Yeah. I mean, you risked no telling how many weeks of grounding simply by having the Appetite for Destruction album in your room.
Got to risk it for the biscuit.
That's right.
And you listen to it all the time.
Not this album, though.
No, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about Appetite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I do. It was influenced, and you can hear it. I didn't know this until recently. And by recently, I mean like yesterday or today. But it was influenced by Elton John and Bernie Taupin with the scope of the song, the piano, the lyrics. It was influenced by Funeral for a Friend. I think it's on Yellow Brick Road. But that just the big epic scope of it. There was a real 50-piece orchestra that was brought in to record. And it's just, it would probably be top three gun songs ever though. For me, I do love this song. It, because I think, and this is also a bold statement, I think that this is my favorite Slash solo. There are actually two solos in this song, but
8 minutes, there's plenty of time.
There is. As somebody said, one writer said, nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain. On the other hand, this song comes close at almost 9 minutes. The video, and I have to sometimes separate the song from the video, because at this point in MTV and everything, I mean, videos were so important to the success of a song. However, I can separate the song on it. I heard the song before I saw the video and loved it, but this is just an epic, cinematic, dramatic video. Stephanie Seymour plays his girlfriend, and it's all she really was his girlfriend at the time. Yeah.
And at 9 minutes, you've got time to explore character arcs.
You do. You do.
Subplots.
But you know, I mean, Slash standing out there in that field with the wind blowing, and you know, it's so dramatic. And this was good for education, because at the end it says inspired by the Del James short story Without You. So back in 1992, you couldn't just go Google something. So you had to really seek out these stories. It was years before I could find it, but it's about a rock star and he cheats on his girlfriend and then tragic things happen. And, it's a really good short story. I don't want to spoil it in case anyone wants to go look it up. In July of 2018, the video became the first to surpass 1 billion views, and it surpassed 2 billion in 2023. NPR described it as one of the most of one of the ultimate hard rock power ballads. I think it's a better song than Sweet Child of Mine, personally, which was their rock formula. You know, everybody would release their, you know, debut single, and then they would always follow it up with a power ballad. And in Guns N' Roses' case, that was Sweet Child of Mine. But I think this is a much better song. And as of October of 24, it was the most viewed song of the 90s on YouTube. There was a lot that came out in the 90s. So, you know, it's just, it's epic in every way. From composition to instrumentation to it's very dramatic and lyrical content. But I just think put together, it is maybe a little over the top, but I don't care. I'm here for it. And I love it. And yes, probably if I get a chance to put it on a list, I will. But how are you going to have a rain list without November Rain? It's 9 minutes long.
Let's find out. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
So when did Guns N' Roses break up originally?
I don't know. They put out two or three more albums after.
Well, I mean, they had
Use Your Illusion.
One and two,
and then they had Lies. That was before. And then Chinese Democracy took years and years to come out. I don't know. Let's consult Google. But why do you ask?
Well, because in the arc of the way that rock and roll kind of rose and fell and gave way to grunge and alternative and then pop, it seems like Guns N' Roses was one of the few bands that was really active that could have kept rock and roll at the forefront and active, because I don't think their popularity had waned in the 90s.
Yeah.
When Nirvana certainly changed the game in Soundgarden, and you know, you get this whole, and Red Hot Chili Peppers morphed into what was popular for the time. I mean, they pivoted really at the time, but Guns N' Roses continued to play what I would say is rock. I mean, they never budged off of that pedestal, but they weren't active enough in the mid to late 90s to keep holding that mantle.
Well, they never officially broke up.
But they weren't recording new music.
Well, Izzy left in 1991, mm-hmm. and that changed everything about their sound, in my opinion. And then Slash left in 96. And so without Slash.
Yeah.
So.
And Slash, well, I'm going to tell you, that guy, what I like about Slash is he will do a collaboration with anybody, mm-hmm. and make it sound like $1 million.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just a good musician. I mean, forget hard rock guitarist. I mean, that guy is just a phenomenal musician. I mean, I feel like you could put him with Brad Paisley and they could come up with something really, really good. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he already has one with Stapleton that is, amazing.
Oh yeah, that is good.
But I would love to see him and Brad Paisley do a little.
Boy, that would be
two different styles, two very different styles. Different. But I think both of them together could come up with something. I think that would be a collaboration that would be.
Yeah. Hmm.
Could you imagine like those bluesy, those bluesy
lyrical
licks, and then let Brad Paisley do some chicken picking over the top of it. I think they could make it work.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think those two guys could make it work and be something special. But anyway, I'm getting off track. So, yes, November Rain.
November Rain. Yeah.
And now it's my pick. Speaking of country, we're going to go with a tragic, gone way too soon, Keith Whitley, and I'm No Stranger to the Rain.
Run down. Stranger to the rain, but there'll always tomorrow, and I'll beg, steal, or borrow a little sunshine. And I'll put this cloud behind me. That's how the man designed me. Ride the wind and dance like a king. I'm no stranger to
I'm No Stranger to the Rain did hit number one on the country charts in 1989. This is not long at all before he tragically passed away due to alcohol. And, I mean, it's just sad because he was probably gearing up to be one of the greatest country music stars of all time. He had everything. He had a great perm. He wrote incredible lyrics. He had that, just that voice. Deep resonating voice, you know, that could cut through. And like a lot of the other great country artists, I mean, some of the, when we think of like the Merle Haggards and the George Jones, and Willie Nelson, the way that they can convey how they feel in a song. Keith Whitley could do that. I love the lyrical content for this particular song. It's really has a downtrodden message to it, right? It's like all these bad things have happened to me, but he's basically saying, and I want to say by God, and he says that's the way the man designed me. He's like, but by God, I'm a man, and I'm gonna fight through it because that's what I do. And so it's kind of, even though it has that negative kind of tilt to it, it has an underlying message of resilience and fighting through. But I'm a big Keith Whitley fan, and so I wanted to include it. It's one of those songs that I will not turn it off if it comes across like my Sirius XM 80s and 90s. I think it's called Prime Country that I listen to on Sirius, and it's 80s and 90s. And every once in a while, this song will pop up, and I will not change the station. I really wish that we lost probably a decade of great music with Keith Whitley. And for a country fan to just not have, number one, the songs were great. His voice was great, and he and Lori Morgan were in position to be one of those great power couples in country music. But unfortunately, he tragically passed away in 89. Might have been 90. I'd have to do my research, but it's 89 or 90.
Should ask ChatGPT.
I think let's pull up ChatGPT. Let's see. When did Keith Whitley pass away?
We should do a choose your own adventure with ChatGPT, a musical choose your own adventure.
May 9th, 1989.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun.
And then, oh my gosh. And if you want to, if you really want a heartbreaker, he did not actually record it in a studio, but there is a recording of him singing a song that he wrote for Lori Morgan. It says, I'm about to cry. It's so sad. Tell Lori I love her.
Oh.
Okay. And there's just a recording, like they're sitting there with like a, what I guess probably a tape deck at the time recording. And so then in 1990, Lori Morgan, covers, A Picture of Me Without You by George Jones.
Oh, that song. Oh.
And like, that's such a sad song anyway. But within the context of she just lost.
Okay, Mike Tyson.
Lost Keith Whitley. And so now she's covering this song. Man, it's heart wrenching.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Mm. I feel like that's going to be a theme today.
Sadness. Rain
well, you does know, rain lend itself to
very
that.
Very symbolic for mm-hmm. melancholy.
Yep.
I like rain, though.
I do, too. It's my favorite. It's my favorite type of weather.
Oh, you're a pluviophile.
Say it with your chest.
I just said it.
That's someone who loves rain.
Someone who loves rain.
Well, Beth, are you going to keep the sadness going, or is you going
to a little? Okay, yeah. So this is one of my favorite songs in the history of songs, and that's hard because you know from day to day, you're like. But this is one of those that I will always keep it on. It's Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again.
This is a defining track for James Taylor. James Taylor? Who is that? David Chappelle.
James Taylor.
Chappelle Roan. James Taylor.
David. We called him David. David Chappelle.
And David Grohl.
Yeah, David Grohl.
So, anyway, his cousin James Taylor put this song out. And it's, I think, possibly the best like singer-songwriter release of all time. And I may have drafted this in our last weather one. We did a weather one last year that was just weather in mm-hmm. general, where Heather asked the existential question, what is weather? Anyway, the real JT, James Taylor, this is a reflective song. It touches on the themes of loss, depression, addiction, but also personal growth. It just makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And it's noted for its emotional depth and its songwriting and cultural influence. It's still in movies and all kinds. It's used all the time in pop culture. It was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2003, which honors recordings that are at least 25 years old and have qualitative or historical significance. It is historically significant. And it became one of the most played songs on radio throughout the 70s. And somehow the melody is, it's sad, it's nostalgic, and it's haunting, but at the same time, there's almost this hopeful sense to it. And the performance is vulnerable and genuine. The song's personal to him, but he wrote it in a way that is relatable still to so many people, which makes it a timeless classic. So like the first verse refers to the death of his friend who took her life. And his friends kept it from him until after the funeral, which deepened his grief. Cause it's like, I never got to say goodbye kind of thing. You never get that closure. Verse 2 talks about his struggles with depression and addiction and just trying to survive day to day. And then verse 3 talks about the loneliness of after his career took off and like fame doesn't solve your personal problems. I have my back toward the sun, but sometimes crap happens, you know? But I always thought I'd see you again. I think that's as you grow up and when you lose somebody, maybe suddenly, or somebody who's very close to you, you know that feeling of like, I never would have expected that was the last time I would see that person. I mean, for us, it's probably very personal, but it changes the way you interact with people sometimes. I know it shapes the way I think sometimes of like, you know what? Anything could happen and maybe this is not a big a deal as as I thought it was. But gosh, I just love this song. It's so freaking good.
The phrasing in this song is so unique, and it's so good because it's almost conversational.
Yeah.
Because he manages to fit so many words into a phrase, but it doesn't sound forced. It doesn't sound contrived at all. And, you know, Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Yeah. I mean, but it's so smooth. You know, been walking my mind to an easy time. I mean, the way he just fits words together to it, it's not just this da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun.
Yeah.
Da dun da dun da dun da dun. You know, it's lyrical in a different way. His poetry is very natural and conversational.
Yeah.
And Kara and I went to see James Taylor. I can't even remember what year it was. It's been a while back. But he packed the arena. I mean, still, you know, still had a full house in there and in a, you know, 18,000 to 20,000 seat arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was full. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I've seen some really, really good guitar players live. I've seen the Eagles when they had Joe Walsh and Don Felder. I've seen Peter Frampton. I've seen Sturgill Simpson. I've seen Eric Clapton. And James Taylor, as a folk guitarist, is really, really good. Mm-hmm. He is a very good guitar player. And so he is the full singer-songwriter package. I mean, the ability to play the guitar at a high level. Not a great voice, but a very emotional voice. Conveys emotion extremely well. And then the lyrical content of his songs are some of the best stuff ever written.
Yeah, and I think one thing about this song is it's like deceptively intricate. Like it seems so simple because it's very chill and the focus is on the lyrics, but underneath it, the instrumentation, there's a lot going on. And for him to be playing at the same time, the stuff that's going on, like it's not just very simple strum patterns or anything like that. It's really...
But for me, like everything that people say about Bob Dylan as a songwriter. Okay. I mean, I'll give Bob Dylan. He can write songs. Okay. But I mean, I enjoy, you mentioned the word poetry. I enjoy the poetry of James Taylor infinitely more than I enjoy the lyrical content of Dylan by a lot. And we're going to talk about, you know, and folk really lends itself to poetry, to music.
Sure, yeah.
But to me, I enjoy the songwriting of James Taylor a lot more than I enjoy the songwriting of Dylan.
Yeah.
Have you heard That Lonesome Road by James Taylor?
Ugh. I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. We did it when I was in high school. And Mr. Charles Parham introduced us to it via the King Singers, because he always liked the King Singers, and they did a version of it, and it is haunting. It is one of the most beautiful pieces. I mean, talk about just make you weep instantly. We did it for graduation when Hallie graduated. It's so pretty.
Beth, you get another pick.
I do. I'm going to stay in the 70s. Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters.
What I've got, they used to call blue.
It's another pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays are. Here with you, nice to know somebody loves me. the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me.
So, first of all, what I feel, you're listening to one of the purest voices ever. She's so good. Her voice has been described as achingly intimate, and I think that's pretty accurate description. She doesn't oversell or oversing anything. She just, her voice is rich and round, but like her round. Pitch is insanely controlled.
I've never heard, gosh. I mean, like I've never, even when she goes up into what would, I mean, she has a pretty much, you know, pretty alto range, but there's, even when she goes up, there's no edge ever.
It's not harsh ever.
It's crazy.
I think one of the most pleasant voices for me to listen to. But this hit number one on the Adult Contemporary chart. It peaked at number two on the Billboard Hot 100. It was blocked by number one from number one by It's Too Late by Carole King. So if something's going to keep you from getting to number one, that's legit. It's one of their signature songs, often praised for her vocal delivery, and it helped define their sound of just these emotional power like type songs. It's still played on soft rock stations, featured on film and TV to evoke emotional weight. If somebody's melancholy, the song might be playing in the background. You've probably heard it. It does have that deep feeling. And to me, this one is interesting because it's not like, you know, with Fire and Rain or November Rain or something like that. It's not a one thing that has happened and I'm sad. It's just that feeling that you sometimes get that kind of creeps up on you and you can't even put it into words of, I feel kind of blah today and I can't really put it. And I think everybody has felt that. And it's frustrating when you can't say why, you know, but it talks about that feeling of just that slow creeping sadness, not some catastrophic depression, but it's still real. But she knows it will pass. She says, what I've got is come and gone before. And she's got somebody who loves her, and that's where she goes, and that's how she gets through it. So it's not all bad. It's not all sad. A little pick me up today. You're welcome. So it's not totally hopeless. And I really like this song. It's another one that's just easy to listen to. There are some of those songs that you don't hear super often. Like some songs are way overplayed, right? And when you hear like Africa, like it's everywhere and sometimes it's too much. But this I feel like is one that's not, it's very popular, but it's not played all the time. So when you hear it, it's almost like a treat. And you're like, oh, I got to listen to this song because it's so good. But you don't overhear it. But yeah, Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters.
Good pick.
Thanks.
All right. I guess I get to pick now. And you guys know me. You know that when we're not doing a decade and we have basically all the music from Neanderthal Man to today, I normally pick songs from the 20th century. I rarely pick songs ever after like 2010.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm stepping out
of
my comfort zone a little bit here.
What's it going to be?
And it is, sometimes you just got to give credit where credit is due. Powerhouse singer, incredible song, Adele, Set Fire to the Rain.
Good song.
Fair.
2011. So
just put a little pinky toe out of 2010.
But it was past 2010. It got into the aughts. No, the aughts are the zeros.
Aughts are the zeros.
Yeah. Yeah, got out of the aughts and into the tens decade there. This was her second studio album, 21. It was the second single. And what's really good about second albums?
That album's so good.
It is so good.
Well, and that to me is really the pivotal moment for most artists and bands. A lot of them are going to have a really big, there's a lot that have a really big first album. The question is, can you follow up with another good album? And if you have two really good albums, then you're almost set. Then people trust you. So that second album is so important. And obviously this one was an incredible album that had numerous singles that did extremely well. So this song was actually co-written by Adele. And then her vocals, you know, are... Have we done a vocal one with Adele on it where we've talked about
and she think had y'all to be shaded on. Her, but it's fine.
Do what?
I think y'all shaded her, but it's fine because I picked her and I don't think so.
She didn't make top five.
I don't think so.
That was probably a mistake. We probably should have put her.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe I got somebody I wanted.
I'm sure you did.
Bruce Dickinson.
That would be close.
Come on.
But I would say that obviously she provides in a way that a lot of powerhouse people cannot do. She can provide emotion when she's belting out songs. I mean, I think some of it is the grit in her voice. I think some of it is the rasp that she has, and she keeps it all the time. You know, I mean, she. And I've saw something, you know, she was talking about her dialect, you know, which is from a really poor area of London, I believe. Is it London? It's a poor neighborhood, but it's a very specific to where she is. And a lot of people did not give her a lot of respect because they recognized the accent. And what's great is that she has the accent when she sings.
She does, yeah.
And so... It's probably like a proud moment for all those people in her neighborhood. They're like, that's right, that's our accent.
What I love is now when she performs, you know, she looks so elegant. She's always got these ball gowns on, but she'll still like flip you off and cuss you out. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know.
Well, that's that neighborhood coming.
Yeah,
out.
You know, it's
she's wacky. Like yeah. I love her.
Yeah.
Just talk and do interviews and stuff because she's funny.
But you know, this is for I give pop music a hard time a lot because a lot of it is really simple. A lot of it is very formulaic. This is not that. This song kind of gets outside of the formula. And I think one of the things that Adele does better than most pop artists, and part of it is because she's so good, is she can break out of the mold because she can do things with her voice that most pop singers can't do. And so she doesn't need the formula. You know what I mean? The lyrics are good. It's about heartbreak, but it's about, I'm going to own it. I'm going to empower myself. And so I guess that's kind of a theme for my first two, because Keith Whitley's was kind of the same way. You know, I've had all these bad things happen, but by God, we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and we move on, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hers is also kind of in that same vein. Hers is more specific to heartbreak, I guess, but then, you know, the empowerment of that. So I think her vocal caliber is what pushes this to the top five for me. But as somebody who obviously is not a big pop music fan, this kind of transcends the genre. Because it is complicated. This is not an easy song. Lyrically, it's not an easy song. Musically, and then certainly vocally, it's not an easy song. And that has always been my big problem with pop, is that a lot of it is very simple. But this is difficult and meaningful across the board. So
she has so many elements of like gospel and blues and everything in her style. It kind of defies. I think it does transcend just
genre
pop. You know, I don't even know that I would initially classify her as pop.
I mean, she's on pop radio, but I wouldn't say she's a pop artist.
Because you're right, she is more complex than that. You know, she doesn't fit in the...
I would love to hear her do a blues album, a straight blues album.
There are some things on...
That would be incredible.
On that album, like One and Only.
Yes, that song is great.
I mean, it's very... It's straight. You could hear Aretha blues doing soul. It.
Yeah. I tell you what we need to do. We need to
She's more soul to me.
We need to do a... an episode, Dream Collaborations.
Oh, okay.
Dead or Alive?
Dead, well, I guess. Yeah.
Ones that could still be possible? Yeah. Okay.
Like who, if we could put two people together, or bands or whatever, because like right now I'm thinking her and Jimmy Page.
Oh, that would be cool.
His bluesy guitar riffs.
Or Jeff Beck.
And her ability to, I think that would be.
Either one of them. No, Jimmy Page, he's alive.
Jimmy Page is alive.
Jimmy Page is very much alive, yeah.
I think Jeff Beck is still alive, isn't he?
No, he died.
Oh.
Yes. Now you got me questioning myself. I'm 99% sure he died. I think he died like right after we recorded that guitarist.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh.
Sure did.
Like days after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my pick, and now it is Heather's pick.
Okay. Do you know what my second pick is?
I don't.
I can't believe you didn't. Think that I wouldn't put this song on there too. It's Purple Rain.
Oh, it's because you hate Prince. Duh. You hate Prince.
You're such a liar. No.
You've been trying to get Prince off of every list.
I've not tried to get him off the list. I keep putting him on my list. You
and
don't put him
like,
on
I'm
the list.
I'm surprised you didn't know who this was going to be.
I've put Prince on my list more than you have put Prince on your lists.
You have been sabotaging Prince since like episode 2 or something. You've been
that is such
you've
a
been
lie.
Submarining him since season 1.
Cried in the school when he died, and then then you do this.
Ugh. I can't forgive you for that.
For what?
For you told me Prince died.
Well, he did.
Well, yeah, but
how dare you tell her?
I know, but I'm just going over there, minding my own business, going to get some,
trying to eat her chicken
school
nuggets,
tater tots, and he's like, "Hey, what? Prince died." Just like stop me in my tracks.
What do you want me to do? Well, I need you to sit down. I've got some horrible news.
It is horrible news. Anyway.
We've never met the man.
And you won't.
No.
Maybe. You don't know.
That's true. Maybe.
Prince was a complicated religious fellow.
Well, now's your chance to get him on the list if you do the right thing.
Oh. Oh, so last year, or last, was it last week? No, it was the week before. You pulled the dad card. She's pulling the Prince card. Yeah. If you really love Prince.
Yeah.
I don't love Prince as much as I love dad.
This is a song. Oh, my God. In the context of the category, this is an epic song about rain. It only reached number 2, and this is a tragedy. It was kept off of the number 1 spot.
By what?
Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go.
Oh, that's a little jam, though.
It is.
You know it is. That's why
it is.
One.
I had that cassette, too. But it re-entered the charts in 2016 following his death. Went back into the top 10. It is on Rolling Stone's Greatest Songs of All Time list. It is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. I think we've mentioned this before. It was originally written with the idea of it being a country song as a collaboration with Stevie Nicks. And she got he wanted her to write some of the lyrics, and she got a hold of it and said, I can't. It's too hard. It's too much. And so she sent it back. And so he went ahead and recorded it the way that he did it. It was the last song that he performed live before his death.
Oh, like Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Well, I don't think it was that immediate. That, but this is kind of, to me, this song is kind of his Stairway to Heaven. You know, it's so epic. It's so big. It's bluesy. It's soulful. That guitar solo is ridiculous. It's moody. His vocals, while they're short verses, but he goes from starting out at this low, rounded end, and then he's like kind of screaming at the end. That soulful, raspy scream. This is interesting because a lot of people don't know what it's about. And unless you get it explained to you, I guess you probably wouldn't get this out of it. I didn't. It's about the end of the world and being with the one that you love and letting faith, God, guide you through the purple rain. The purple comes from like
royalty,
blood in the sky.
Oh,
red blood, blue sky.
Oh.
An apocalyptic kind of.
Oh.
So.
That's interesting.
But then you've got all of this turmoil happening, and then you let God guide you through the purple rain.
Okay.
Would not have drawn that conclusion.
He's a weird dude, lyrical, man. I mean, he.
Deep lyrical dive on that.
Yeah.
He's interesting, man. I mean, he was a bit of a conspiracy theorist. He was in on the chemtrails.
Maybe that's where the
rain. And then he died. This is the confusion. That's the weird thing. Is like, I mean, if you're a conspiracy theorist, Prince is not going to take you off the conspiracy theory ledge because once he starts talking about chemtrails, they kill him. Or I'm sorry, he passes away. So it's really weird how people open the door to what us common people, us little peons, peasants, we're not supposed to see through the windows. And when somebody opens the curtains a little bit, they all die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, same thing happened to Chester Bennington. Same thing happened to Cornell.
Michael Jackson,
Chris Cornell.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, yeah, it's weird, the timing on some of these.
It is strange.
You know.
Give you that.
So, like, Chester Bennington has, like, this lifelong mission. He's in the process of working on a documentary about child
pedophile
trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got a mission. He's got something that's very important to him, and he offs himself in the middle of it.
It's weird. Seems weird.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
There's a rabbit hole you can follow.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. And here's what's up. Now that you know about the white rabbit, really pay attention when you watch movies and see how often white rabbits pop up in movies.
What?
That's a conspiracy theory thing. It's follow the white rabbit. It's from Alice in Wonderland where it comes from.
Yeah.
But they're like, you'll see it in movies. There'll be somebody dressed up, just randomly, somebody dressed up in a white rabbit at an important part of a movie or something. It's like there are people in Hollywood, they're not hiding things. They're just floating it right in front of our faces.
Is that where the Easter eggs come from?
Ooh.
Don't tell me that something is bad about Steel Magnolias, because at the end of the movie, in Steel Magnolias, at the end, there's a guy dressed up like a big Easter bunny.
I don't
ruin Steel Magnolias for me.
I'm going to tell you that I think they're lying to us about our diet, and there is a diabetes issue in Steel Magnolias.
Not
What?
Not top two, you dummy.
No, I'm telling you, I think.
It was 1989.
Top one is an autoimmune disease, fam.
I understand. Well, that's what we've been told.
Dude.
Oh.
Okay.
That's what we've been led to believe.
And the earth is flat.
You know who created the food pyramid? We're going off on a tangent.
Oh my god.
You would think medical doctors or nutritionists created the food pyramid.
Wasn't it like bread makers or something?
It was it was the Department of Agriculture trying to sell wheat.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard that.
Well, that is not a primary part of my food pyramid anymore. Thank you.
We've been lied to.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Oh. People are going to be like,
here we go.
Commenting.
Where are we even? Heather.
It's my last pick. Yeah. Okay, we're going to. Okay, now, a lot of these songs.
Conspiracy Theories and Prince is how that all started.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of these songs have been a little melancholy in nature. Since we started, this one at first presents itself like that, but it's actually very tongue-in-cheek. From 1995, Only Happy When It Rains, Garbage.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Really a parody of the angst-filled lyrics of 90s alternative. I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated, you know. And someone called it perversely pretty. And that I love Shirley Manson. I think her voice is... That's a great way to describe it. It's not a beautiful voice, but it's not a harsh voice in any way. And so with that, coupled with that fuzzy guitar tone and the way they mixed it, they talk about how they didn't bring her vocals up much over the track. It's just kind of embedded there in the track. And it's really interesting. Metallica covered it.
Oh.
Yeah. It hit the Billboard Top 100, but it did better in the UK. Shirley Manson's just the magic in that song, I think. And then you can hear the influence of singers like Chrissy Hynde and Patti Smith. But then you can turn around and hear her influence on singers like Taylor Momsen, Florence Welch, Billie Eilish, Lana Del Rey, that almost, I don't mean this word to sound negative because it's not, but almost a lazy, there's just no harshness to it. Even when she's really, you know, getting after something, it still doesn't seem harsh. She just has a cool factor about her that even when she's making fun of something, it doesn't come across as comedic in any way. So, and I just like the song.
That's my time period right there for sure. So is it my pick?
It is.
It's my pick. All right. I love this song. This is one of those songs when the chorus hits, I feel like if you don't just let everything, all of your inhibitions go and just sing along. I don't think you have a soul.
Let's see.
It's Smoky Mountain Rain, Ronnie Millsap.
Not what I expected you to say.
I thumb my way from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights ain't where I belong. From a phone booth in the rain, I called to tell her I've had a change of dreams, I'm coming home. But tears filled my eyes when I found out she was gone.
Don't know this is great.
Here we go.
Smoky Mountain Rain, my keeps on falling. I keep on calling.
We did it. We did it with you.
Then you have a soul.
God, I'm glad my soul is safe.
Yes. So first of all, no. Okay. Let me correct you on some Ronnie Millsap right now. I know you're like he's from the Smoky Mountains. Ronnie Millsap was actually an R&B artist. It's an interesting story to how he got into country music. He did not even really... I think he might have liked country music, but he wanted to be an R&B star. And he played in, I mean, he's a really good musician.
Nobody's
first of
knocking
all.
Ronnie Millsap.
But he played with Stevie Wonder. He played with Ray Charles.
The
blind leading the blind. I know. Okay. It's all true. I couldn't make that up. That's a fun fact.
Oh no! Wow.
He did. He played in Ray Charles' band, and he also played with Stevie Wonder. I know. I never put the blind thing together until now. In case you don't know, Ronnie Millsap also blind. So. But he also played with Elvis Presley, who we do not know was blind. We don't think he was blind.
Not to my knowledge.
But so he was trying to make it as an R&B star. He ends up playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that one Charlie Pride was in the audience. And he got with him and he said, man, you really need to do country. He said, you would be super hot in country. So... Charlie Pride brings him into the country ranks, and then Ronnie Millsap's career was really, really... I mean, he had some bangers, man.
Stranger in My House? Oh, Stranger in My House.
I'm going to tell you... how do you know? One of my... He heard them. Heard them. He's got great ears.
Hot and sensitive.
One of my favorite... Just because of the confidence level, just the pure confidence to write the song... There Ain't No Getting Over Me.
That's great, yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. But, so here's the, okay. Here's another fun fact.
It's time for a fun fact, woo!
The B-side of this was Crystal Fallen Rain.
Oh, look at you, a twofer.
And the album that it was on, here's the other, he did not release this on a studio album, Nay. This is the confidence of Ronnie Millsap I'm talking to you about. So already he's telling his girl, there ain't no getting over me. He put this song as the only single on a greatest hits album. And it goes to number one. That's confidence, my friend.
Yeah.
This man has no shortage of confidence. Mm-hmm. So first of all, kudos to you, Ronnie Millsap. But he also wrote, he played piano for Elvis Presley, Kentucky Rain. And so that's a lot of rain for Ronnie Millsap. But that was the, he actually wrote this song kind of for Elvis because he played on the Kentucky Rain track. And so this was kind of like in honor of Elvis. But y'all don't think that's an amazing chord? Y'all didn't know the song?
No. You built it up so much, and I was like, okay, I'm about to rock out. And then Smoky Mountain Rain by Ronnie Millsap. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah.
That's a great chorus. That bum, bum, psh, Smoky. Oh, my gosh.
The I can lead see up how if you knew the song, that would great. Be a moment for you.
And it's got those great moments of those little lead up, bum, bum, psh, just to let you know, hey, gear up, baby. It's coming. Here it is. Boom, go. There it is.
Boom, go. Yeah. There it is.
Except Ronnie Muslim. There it is.
This, we need video, man. See?
Oh, no.
Oh.
So. So.
But yeah, so this song did go to number one. Obviously, he's a tremendous piano player. There's a piano solo in it as well. And that's it. That's okay. It's a great song.
Okay.
And not only is it a rain song, it was a B-side to a rain song, and he did based off another rain song.
Oh. Is that like in
so it's got extra categories rain in it.
When you do a double word?
Yeah, so yeah. Like points. It is, it's like you know, when they're trying to figure out crimes and they've got all the strings attached to the different mm-hmm. people on the uh-huh. tax. There's a whole lot of strings uh-huh. on this one connecting to other rain stuff.
Okay.
Well, that's which good. Makes it it's, like a storm.
It's extra rainy.
Ooh, a monsoon.
Monsoon.
And, well, as Dad would say, a damn Dale Yugi.
I thought that's what that word was for a long time when I read
it.
Did
you call it? Because that's what I think.
Yeah. So I get the last pick for all times of the rain songs.
Okay.
And I also picked the song that I
drop,
just like,
if you will.
Oh.
What did you say?
The last drop. Oh. But I didn't say, I should have said it like my man Dusty Rhodes. The last drop, if you will.
Why you gotta do the hand?
Because
nobody can do it.
Because it's Dusty, baby.
Didn't Macho Man do that thing?
Yeah, he did the oh yeah, and you know, he yeah. For
okay,
sure.
Sorry. There's a subtle difference. If we had video, you
no, there's not a subtle difference between Dusty and Macho.
But the hand thing you just did, there was a subtle difference.
I don't know if Dusty did a lot of hand gestures.
Well, then okay. We have chased the rabbits,
the white rabbits.
Anyway, so my last pick is "It Will Rain" by Bruno Mars.
Oh,
if you ever leave me, baby, leave some morphine at my door, 'cause it would take a whole lot of medication to realize what we used to have. We don't have it anymore.
It was certified 5 times platinum. So lyrically, it shows the agony of heartbreak and desperation to not lose the one that you love. It's dramatic and soulful. And Bruno Mars just has an interesting ability to mix vulnerability and power at the same time. Because you can still feel his emotion and this like yearning, even though he's singing something that's difficult and the most other people, like a lot of guys probably could not do that. And also he sings in a register that's easy for me to sing along with in the radio, which is nice.
That's important.
And he wanted to write something that reflected the pain and passion that comes with a relationship falling apart and fear of losing that love. And it just has this vibe of classic soul ballads, but it has modern pop polish. So when the second verse comes in, like a drum beat comes. So it sounds, it's got kind of an 80s influence in the drums and stuff like that. So you can't necessarily pick out exactly when it would have been released. It was written for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. They asked him to write a song, I imagine, because, you know, he had done like Just the Way You Are and stuff like that. And Breaking Dawn Part 1 centers around their wedding. And so the music, like, producer, I guess, for the movie.
Where is that in the total story arc of
It's right toward the end. So Breaking Dawn is part one and two, and that's the last two.
Okay, so it's really a trilogy with the last part broken up into two?
Yes. So there are four movies. Well, four movies.
This is, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
This is, she picks Edward, is his name Edward?
Yes.
Over Jacob?
That's
is that the werewolf's name?
You.
Is Jacob?
Yeah.
And so this is the wedding when she chooses Edward.
Yes, which is very, it's really important because they're breaking a lot of rules, right? Because she's a human. And so
she's
in order for her to
she's not been vampirized
yet. No, because he didn't want to do that before they got married. Okay. He was like, it's because she, Stephanie Meyer is Mormon. And so they had this weird
premarital
sex thing that was like, we're not going to, it was weirdly did not really fit the story, but she put it in there.
But she had it all. This all she dreamed this whole thing, right?
It was like a.
Didn't this come to her in a dream? This whole story.
I don't know.
Dream it and she wrote down what happened in her dream?
I don't know. Mary Shelley did that with Frankenstein. Not the classic. This not the classic that Frankenstein is, but yeah. So anyway, they were the vampire police, the Volturi in Italy, were coming for them because they didn't like the fact that he was going to turn somebody into a vampire.
Should be loved.
It's unpredictable. And so then the werewolves that they had a pact with, they said they will not eat or they wouldn't cross over into the whatever. But then they had to collaborate because they had to fight the Italian vampires.
Wow.
It was a big deal.
So in what you're saying is that
The werewolves and the local vampires had to.
They fought together side by side. And they normally fought each other.
Well, they had a truce.
Wow.
Diplomacy. Diplomacy works.
Right.
Diplomacy works.
But anyway, so it was centered around their wedding. And so the person said, because Bruno Mars at this time, he had like Grenade and stuff like that, that was not necessarily all happy or whatever, but they thought, who better than Bruno Mars to write a timeless classic wedding song? And he gave them this after he watched a rough cut of the movie.
Well, I mean, it is in Forks and it always rains and cloudy in Forks.
But I mean, so. it's like a timeless classic wedding song. Nobody's going to play this at their wedding. It may be a timeless, I don't know if it's a timeless classic. I really like it. But it sounds timeless, sort of.
Yeah, it was a beautiful wedding.
What a beautiful wedding.
Okay, so I got some songs that were not selected.
There's one that I forgot, and I hope somebody put it on their list. Nobody drafted it.
Okay, let's see.
So I had Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR, and full disclosure, y'all have trashed CCR before, so I didn't think that it had an opportunity to make the list, and that's one of the reasons that I didn't draft it.
And I'd do it again.
Why are you wrong? I mean, they're one of the greatest American rock bands of all time.
I do not enjoy John Fogerty's voice at all. Not even a little bit. So anyway, proceed.
Shame. I have No Rain by Blind Melon. That's from... So that's my time period. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain by Willie Nelson. And that's it. All the other ones got drafted.
Whoa. I had, hold on, I had them pulled up. I had, y'all picked Set Fire to the Rain and Rainy Days and Mondays. I'm going to stand by it. Blame It on the Rain, Milli Vanilli. Mm-hmm. I love
No. It wasn't by Milli Vanilli.
Well, it was by some guys that they did.
It was released under their name.
And I think they won a Grammy for it.
Maybe.
Did that get taken back? I wonder. Uh-huh. It did. Yeah. They took it back.
I don't know if it was for Blame It on the Rain, but anyway, I stand by my pick. Rain Song, Led Zeppelin. Mm. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. The Rain, Super Duper Fly by Missy Elliott.
Oh, look at you.
And can I just say that I love this whole misheard lyric trend when they keep putting Lorraine.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen Lorraine?
I can't stand Lorraine.
Oh, was that the one you forgot?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was wanting to see if you picked it yet.
No. I cheated a little bit with my number four. I put Rainbow by Kacey Musgraves. Because rainbows come after the rain, and it has rain in it, technically. The Rain Song, Led Zeppelin, No Rain, Blind Melon. It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. Aww. And I also had Blame It on the Rain.
Oh.
We could have done it.
You know what we forgot? And I love this song, and I can't believe Bring on the Rain by Jody Messina.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway, so bring on the rain.
That is a good song.
Oh, such a good song.
But we also, you know... Like, if you go research this, like, on Google, whatever, like, I'm Singing in the Rain is going to be, like, in the top five, some of those old.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, like, one of those, like, 1930s gangsters. Yeah, yeah, say, yeah.
Like the Penguin.
All you need is your hair slicked back and like
a cigar
and like this little gray spot, like right here above your ear.
Like Polly from The Sopranos.
Yeah, see? Yeah, yeah. Get on your knees and tell me you love me. There's a little.
What the heck? What are
y'all
you doing?
Y'all not ever seen Home Alone?
Anyway, but what is that?
You know, he plays the movie. To scare off the guy that...
It doesn't say that.
It most certainly does.
Uh-oh.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Mandela effect. I don't remember.
I'm going to look it up.
No. AC said 50%. I know that one.
Oh, my God.
Home Alone. Yeah, it's even a...
Angels with Filthy Souls or something like
that. It's even a gif or a gif, depending on how you pronounce it. Yeah. It's and he redoes it in Home Alone too. He uses it in both movies.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all trying to make it something. It ain't. I don't know what you're talking about. Y'all trying to get that E not for everyone rating on the
What are we doing?
Okay, so we got nine songs. Yeah, what are they?
Oh, Ben has drafted I'm No Stranger to the Rain by Keith Whitley, Set Fire to the Rain by Adele, and Smoky Mountain Rain by Ronnie Milsap.
The epic sing-along classic. Smoky Mountain Rain.
Heather drafted November
Next time,
Rain.
If we ever do karaoke, I'm doing Smoky Mountain Rain.
No, you
they
won't.
They won't have it on the list.
They have to have the
song. Dude, this hit number one on the Billboard charts.
You are not going to forsake your Conway Twitty classic spot Smoky Mountain Rain.
I don't know. This may be my new favorite.
Okay.
Heather drafted, to the surprise of no one, November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
How did you know?
Why did you sound like $1 million?
$100 million. Oh,
God, shut up.
She also drafted Purple Rain by Prince, who she says she loves, but she secretly hates. And Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage. I drafted Fire and Rain by James Taylor, Rainy Days and Mondays by The Carpenters, and It Will Rain by Bruno Mars.
All right, so we have nine songs, and now it's time to cut them from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
All right, so now we've got nine songs. Are there... very different ways about going this. We picked some very different songs. So We'll start with the first pick, which was November Rain. I had it number 6. Did you have November Rain on your list, Beth?
I did.
Where did you have it?
5.
So we have 1, 6, and 5. I feel like that's probably going over.
I'm here to be a menace today.
She fell in love with Smoky Mountain Rain. And now
that's
she's
what
like,
it is.
You know?
Maybe now that's my new thing. I'm not the swing vote. I'm the unpredictable one.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that I'm probably the only one that had I'm No Stranger to the Rain. Yeah. So now Fire and Rain may have been on all of our list. I had Fire and Rain number 3.
What, Heather?
I know. I don't know what I was thinking.
You didn't have it on your list.
I didn't. I did, however, have Milli Vanilli on my list.
Correct. It's like
I'm a little off my game. I don't have any problem with Fire and Rain. That's a great song.
Where did you have it, Ben?
3.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
Let's
that.
Let's do it. I'm going to write it down. It's in pen. We can't take it back.
Is November Rain on the
I did not write
five?
It down.
Whoa. Hold on.
I had.
It wasn't in Ben's top 5.
Rainy Days.
Yes, it was.
What was
no,
it?
No, he had it at number 6.
Oh, well, you
no,
had
I'm
it
sorry.
In your
it,
top
is,
5.
It is number 5. It is number. November Rain was my number 5.
Oh. Well.
Write it in pen.
Purgatory. November.
Lame.
She said she was going to be a menace.
Mm-hmm. And I have the book.
The next pick was Rainy Days and Mondays. I did not have that on my list.
9.
The next pick was Set Fire to the Rain. Did y'all have it on your list?
I didn't have that one.
Okay.
Missed it.
Purple Rain. I had number 9 on my list.
Mm-mm. I'll give you November Rain if we can keep Purple Rain off.
Okay, now. Who hates
poor
Prince?
Poor Prince.
I never claimed to like him.
I'm Only Happy When It Rains. I did not have on my list.
I do like that one. I didn't have it.
Smoky Mountain Rain. I'm going to assume that y'all did not have that on your list.
You couldn't tell by the way we knew every word mm-hmm. while we were singing.
And then It Will Rain, I did not have on my list. Did you have it on your list? So we... have a long way to go, my friend.
Yep.
Long way to go. I feel like we can probably move November Rain over.
Fun.
Just because we've got... we all had it in our top 5, and
yeah, I mean,
there are no other songs that we well
right. So you might as well put it number 1 and let's go.
The Adele song, all 3. No, you didn't have Adele on your list.
No, I didn't.
Fascinating. We didn't have. I kind of feel like Fire and Rain and the Adele song should both go over.
Where do you have Adele?
8.
Oh, that's not very high.
I just said I feel like it should go. I didn't say it was going to go over.
So I mean,
you,
I like that song.
Did you forget about so. Fire and Rain?
Yeah.
Where would it go in your list if you were going to put it? Like, look at your list.
I don't need where to does look
it fit? Right behind Milli Vanilli is where she would put it.
I would probably put it 4.
So we all had it in our real in our updated top 5.
I don't
5.
Have a problem with it going in the top okay. 5. I just
oh, I already put it in there.
Oh, okay.
So
we still have 3 spots we got to put over.
Then. Yeah.
Holy Toledo. Does it rain a lot in Toledo? I don't know. That's Spain.
What?
What?
There's a Toledo in Spain.
Oh, I was like.
I guess we're used to like Ohio. Yeah. But I think it gets its name from a. I may be That's totally possible. Wrong, but I think there's a Toledo in Spain.
Let's all go through. It let's all go around and like, say what we would put in the last 3.
To me, it sounds like Smoky Mountain Rain's going over.
You're on crack. No, 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 no.
Let's do it. Let's all go around and say what 3 we would put in. This is going to be fun.
What's left?
I'm No Stranger to the Rain. Set Fire to the Rain.
Well, that's
Smoky
not,
Mountain Rain.
None of mine had gone over, so I'm going to pick all 3 of mine.
Heather has no Purple Rain. And Only Happy When It Rains. And I have Rainy Days and Mondays, and It'll Rain. somebody might surprise you. Heather, what would you put over?
Well, I'm going to pick, obviously, Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And Only Happy When It Rains, obviously.
Wow.
And
lose it out for yourselves.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm not going to pick them.
You at, what would you pick?
I want to hear what everybody else would pick first. Because I can guarantee you that the ones that I'm going to pick, not the ones you would think.
Mm. And probably I'm no stranger to the ring.
Good choice.
Mm. So, Ben, you would do your three.
I'm just based on my list. Those are the top three left on my list. Yes.
Okay. I would do, maybe not in this order, I would do Rainy Days and Mondays, Only Happy When It Rains, and Smoky Mountain Rain.
Yes! Please, God, let Ronnie Millsap get in this list.
Okay, so what we're getting is Only Happy When It Rains should go over, from according to those three lists. Because that's two, Only Happy When It Rains.
Oh, I didn't say we were like really done. We're just seeing where we're at. I mean, I like that song. I'm cool with it. Where'd you have Rainy Days and Mondays?
None. Heather? And there were also two, I'm No Stranger to the Rain.
So what I'm hearing is there were two for Ronnie Millsap and two for Keith Whitley.
And two for Garbage.
Okay.
Is that it? Is that the top five?
I'll do it.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not even going to argue about the Adele. I just got...
Oh, they were... Yeah. I don't know.
Holy crap. How about some Ronnie Millsap, baby? That's what... This list has always needed... This show has not had a Ronnie Millsap sighting ever. Even Ronnie Millsap hasn't had a Ronnie Millsap sighting.
All right. We have a top five. Let's rank them. Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
Wait.
We have a top five.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the final ranking.
I'm sorry. I
was
like, while you both were conversing, I ranked them by the...
I'm giddy right now, man. I did not think Ronnie Millsap was going to get in. I'm so excited. I'm writing him a letter. Is he alive?
Somebody had to read it to him.
Huh?
Yeah, he was just at the Country Music Hall, the Opry thing the other night.
Our top five.
I'm writing him a letter.
Oh, my God.
Somebody will read it to him. I don't know Braille.
My God. Anyway.
Fire and Rain. November Rain. I'm No Stranger to the Rain. Smoky Mountain Rain. And Only Happy When It Rains. So, really, the first two are the only ones that were for sure that we were like, let's put them in. So, maybe we should decide which one of those are one and two. Obviously, you're going to be the swing vote on that.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
I had Fire and Rain ahead of November Rain.
Well, that settles it.
Lame.
Fire and Rain.
But we all had November Rain on our list.
But just because you had a brain fart doesn't mean that the list should be messed up.
I still wouldn't have put it in front of November Rain. Now, hold on a second. We three had it on our list.
But you just said that you forgot about it.
I did.
You said in your updated rankings, Fire and Rain would be in your top five.
But it doesn't mean that it should be number one. We all had it on our list.
Right. But see, here's how this works.
No, this is how it works today.
No.
When you No. We all had it on our list.
Mm-hmm.
And where is it? Where was it in your top five? Was it in your top five, November Rain?
I mean, it was five.
Okay, it was five. So where?
It was five.
Oh, it was five. And it was number one for me. Okay, uh-huh. So where was Fire and Rain?
One.
Three. And you said
nothing.
Three. So two top threes.
So it totals out at four then.
Okay, well, I didn't put it on there. November Rain should be first and Fire and Rain should be second.
Why?
Because we all had it on our list.
You just said you forgot.
Well, then it wasn't enough for me to think, oh, hey, the very first song I thought of was
November. But in your updated list, you said it would be like number three.
But it's not. It's not.
So you're changing your... Now you're updating your list to keep it out.
Yeah, because that's what we do here on the Music List Podcast. No, it should be number one.
Okay.
We all had it on the list.
So it's definitely between Fire and Rain and November Rain.
Yes.
Well, let's vote.
Oh my God. Fire and Rain, so stupid.
Fire and Rain or November Rain?
November Rain.
Fire and Rain or November Rain?
It's a toughie. I'm going to go with Fire and Rain.
I'm going to go with Fire and Rain. All right. So that's number one. November Rain, number two.
Okay, so that's the shtick. That's what we do. We just change the rules around and like just put whatever song we want to when we get to the time. It's not about...
What I'm hearing is, that so you, is that you have a problem with democracy.
Don't get me started on this. Do not get me started on this. This goes out to an international audience. I can't do
you
it.
You know what song I decided I really like?
That I might like more than November 8th?
Please tell that's me.
That,
please
that's tell Smoky me Smoky Mountain, Mountain Rain. That, you know what? That tracks. Lift them up. That's what we do. That's what we do. So go ahead.
Oh, she agreed. She said, go ahead.
I'm.
Uh-oh. Ma'am.
Sorry.
Be professional.
So, is Smoky Mountain Rain going to be number two?
That's about right. I mean,
it could be.
That's about right.
Actually, I like Only Happy When It Rains better than November Rain. Actually, I like darn near all these songs better than November Rain, but that's me. Where would you put November Rain, Ben?
Full disclosure. The reason I had November Rain number five and Smoky Mountain Rain number six for me, or actually, no, yeah, was... Because I thought if I was going to, and I don't know why, I knew I wasn't going to get November Rain unless I drafted it first. But I had it up there so that I could pop, because I knew I was going to have to put it up high in order to draft it. Yeah. Do I like Smoky Mountain Rain more? Yeah, I do. But the full disclosure is that I had November Rain ranked one spot ahead of Smoky Mountain Rain on my list.
Why?
Because I thought I had to have it high enough in order to draft it. Mm. Not because I liked it. I knew that I put Smoky Mountain Rain strategically low because I knew I would probably be the only person that had it. And I knew I could draft it last.
Mm-hmm. But
I told y'all
on your updated list.
I told y'all before we started, my favorite pick was gonna be my last pick. Mm-hmm. I told y'all that before we even turned on the recording. I told y'all my last pick was going to be my favorite.
Right. So the standing music list question. Well, then why didn't you draft it?
I just told you why.
You didn't.
I did draft it. I strategically drafted it last because I knew I could get it last.
Run the risk of a home sweet home moment. But probably not on this song.
But you didn't even put it on your list, did you? Home sweet home.
Yeah, I did.
You did? You just put it low?
I think.
No, I think you wanted to add it later.
Maybe I forgot it.
The difference is, here's the difference, though. The difference between this and Home Sweet Home is you thought certainly somebody's going to draft Home Sweet Home and I won't have to.
Oh.
That was what happened with Home Sweet Home.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I knew nobody was going to draft Smoky Mountain Rain.
What does that say about Smoky Mountain Rain?
That
the greatest song about rain.
What it means is that I knew that I was going to have the opportunity to present to y'all a great song about rain that you may not have done, and all your research may not have popped up.
Yeah. Mm.
You may have achieved it.
You good? Yeah. Whatever.
But really, my next favorite song would actually be Only Happy When It Rains. I would put that at number two.
I also kind of feel like Beth has done this before, where she has acted like she's going to do something and then she puts the obvious pick where it was. No, I'm just kidding. It was always going to be this. She did that. When did you do that? Do you remember doing that?
Yes, it was. I've done it a couple times. I know I did it with what's his name? Not Rodney. You know, Randy Rhodes. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I did it with that. And then
so
there was something else.
Straight up for real. Are you seriously considering putting Randy Millsap that high, or is this another
Randy Millsap?
Ronnie Millsap. Well, we just talked about Randy Rhodes.
It's so important. It's such an important
with
song.
David
now,
Chappelle.
If you can't understand what just happened, we're talking about Randy Rhodes. I had Randy on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think Ronnie is a little bit more likely to get Randy than Randy Rhodes. I think Ronnie looks like like he likes the women. What he looks like.
What?
Got that vibe.
Anyway.
No.
So are you being for real with Ronnie Millsap right now, or is this going to be a?
No,
I'm always going to move November Rain up.
No, I could really do it. I told you I was here to be a menace today, and I meant it. I'm feeling like myself.
So what it sounds like is that because you like the whole song or garbage song,
mm-hmm.
that's probably going to be number two, Ronnie Millsap number three.
I would like that. And then I could put November Rain number four.
November Rain number four, and then I'm No Stranger to the Rain. Number five.
That's what I would rank them. But y'all could, that's what I would put them in. Y'all can outvote me, obviously.
Heather.
Ma'am, you got two songs in there. I got one. And I picked y'all songs over mine. So I'm just here to be neutral.
Oh my God. Whatever. Just rank them. I don't care. I don't care.
So I guess,
are you good with that?
I get Ronnie Millsap in the top three. I'm like a kid in a candy shop.
Boop, 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 boop.
I love that song. I love that song. Definitely going to be my next karaoke jam.
What was that? Smoky Mountain. Wow, that was fun.
Speaking of karaoke, here's what's hard. And I didn't realize this until it was too late. So we went to, was it San Antonio? Did karaoke. I did vehicle first. Fine. It's totally 100% in my range. Did well enough for a karaoke deal. Here's what gets deceptively hard after they change keys several times is Spain by Three Dog Night.
Ooh. You didn't realize till it had already started.
Yeah, and then there's that moment where you're like,
uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
So.
Been there.
Research your songs before you don't just start picking from the list. You need to have a game plan, I think, for what you want to do before you start doing some karaoke, because it can get out of control real fast. Real fast. Anyway, that's my PSA for the day. Well, hey, we have a top five.
Hey, and we ranked them. The best songs about rain. This is a definitive list.
The definitive list.
By the music list.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, sorry. The final ranking of the best rain songs. Number one, Fire and Rain by James Taylor. Number two, Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage. Number three, Smoky Mountain Rain by Ronnie Millsap. Number four, November Rain by Guns N' Roses. And five, I'm No Stranger to the Rain by Keith Whitley.
Deep down in my heart, I always knew that Smoky Mountain Rain was a better song than November Rain. Deep down in my soul right here, I knew that. But to get that confirmed by the music list is great. So Heather has not, I don't think Heather has said anything like for the last 5 minutes.
Not with her voice, but with her face.
But hey, we want to thank everybody for listening. And we want you to catch up with us on our social media platforms, which you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
Is that it?
YouTube.
YouTube, yes.
But if you're listening to us here, it's the same thing.
That's right. I mean, yeah. So you're better off getting up because we don't have video yet. We're working on it. Potential solutions for that. So, yeah, but thanks for listening. Like, share, subscribe, and don't let that Smoky Mountain rain ruin your spring. See you in 2 weeks.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night. It's such a beautiful.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
She almost had it.